cliffcentral.com.
All right, there's a little Connell Cruz and Broken Dreams, cliffcentral.com, on a Monday, the 2nd of December, ready to start the final month of the year. And then it's not only a new year, it's a new decade, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. My God, it feels like just yesterday we started this year. All right, let's get stuck into a few things that we need to cover this morning and need to get you up to speed with. First of all, happy Monday. In case you did go and join all those shoppers on Black Friday, you are part of a global economy that spent an extra $7.6 billion online. Oh. Only online, there's even more spent. Mm. They're actually saying that sales during the holiday season globally are expected to reach $143 billion.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these specials that I saw, you couldn't purchase them online. You had to purchase them in store.
Okay.
Which I wasn't going to do.
Well, apparently a bunch of people at the Mall of Africa were thrilled with their purchases. Listen to these rocket scientists. Are you ready?
Well, Shahana can tell you this much. It's absolute fun here.
By the way, this, I'll give credit to ENCA for being mad enough to go to the Mall of Africa on Black Friday.
But you know, my legs are really failing me now. And Mall of Africa is a maze. I mean, there are so many doors, so many shops. But I mean, in terms of the number one item that continues to be a hottest one, that is a number one selling one, it's the TV set.
See,
so that's the product.
We brought this up on Friday. What do people want these 100 million fucking TVs
How many
for?
More TVs can there be in the world?
People just love a TV.
Wherever you go here, you see it. But Shahan, let's talk to other people here, you know, the shoppers. Right. So guys, I'm just going to start with you, ma'am. So were you able to get all the things that you wanted?
I was able to get all, everything in here, everything.
So what exactly did you want to buy?
You know, Mina, I didn't know what to buy. I just bought whatever was in the shop because I was excited.
All right, this girl's probably, 20-something? She bought everything in the shop that she wanted to see, that she saw, that she just heard the word special, Black Friday, and she was there. And by the way, all her moron friends are gathered around behind her.
Black Friday, I'm gonna chip in.
Okay, so let's try and get more people, Shahan. I mean, there are so many people here. So what about you, sir? Have you had a good experience so far?
Luckily, this man has an empty trolley at this point.
Yes. You can see now I'm safe. Oh,
no, wait, there's stuff. Yeah. There's lots of stuff
in
the trolley.
This 1.5 liters.
And what did you make of the pricing? Do you think the pricing is fair?
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. Just imagine, this is 250 for one, and then now it's 120.
So thank you so much for your time.
All right, this man has actually got children and is responsible for bringing two other people into the world, and he's going to spend all this money on Black Friday.
He saved $10 in that deal.
Exactly.
And he said it was very fair.
Yeah, no, it's very fair.
This guy has no idea. But you see, this is what I love about these news networks that go and interview people, is they always go out there and they're going to show us how the man in the street thinks or doesn't think. Mm. And it's always a disaster because you think afterwards, I would actually have been happier with the state of humanity if I didn't know that person existed and that they had an opinion on stuff. They go out there with,
they really choose. They don't choose the best people to.
Well, the best people don't choose them either, because
maybe the best people aren't in the mall; they're at home.
But then that sounds very elitist of us, right? It sounds
right.
But actually, it might be a good idea to only show off the smart people, because then the dumb ones might stay at home and watch that on TV. Because God knows the smart people don't watch TV, and then they'd go, "Ooh, maybe I shouldn't go."
Alternatively,
I shouldn't go and spend this money, or I shouldn't have an opinion on this. I should just shut up and not go on Twitter and say something.
Yeah. Alternatively, we can all rejoice that they aren't at home, possibly reproducing.
Yeah, well,
yeah, they're stuck in a line.
Right. That's a good point.
Full disclosure, I know tons of people like that.
Yeah, me too.
Tons of people.
Oh, me too. I have friends who are like this.
Absolutely.
Who went out on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend of mine on Saturday who I thought was a reasonably intelligent person. Oh, was she excited to have gone out Friday night. She blocked off in her diary like 3 or 4 hours to go and spend money she didn't have.
But also standing up for people who are mindful of their spending and who, you know, look at the calendar around, you know what, festive season is coming, I'll be hosting people, maybe this is a smarter thing to go around things. My sister already is a little schnorrer when it comes to spending. She really go, you know, I think I've referenced her before. She's the type of person who every single Sunday, she looks through actual physical catalogs, and she'll go through digital catalogs as well and map out where she'll go the next week to find the best savings. She had a whole spreadsheet out for Black Friday as well. She was proud to like send me updates on Friday, like, okay, look what I got now, and this is what I got. And she's like, okay, now
she's organized.
Yeah, she now has like all the cordials that we'll need for cocktails.
Yeah, you see, that's organized and clever. That really is.
That's smart.
But for me to go out, I mean, I looked at a few specials and there were things I didn't need. Also, there was something I did need. My washing machine packed up on the Wednesday.
How embarrassing. What did you put in there to make it ruin itself like that?
I'm not the operator of it, so we'd have to ask Precious. Okay. But I've seen some interesting things in there, like full carpets.
Yes, it wasn't.
Yes. Anyway, the funniest is they said to me, how old is your machine? They said on the phone before they picked it up. So I said, about 5 or 6 years. They said, can you read me the serial number? I did. They said, it's 12 years.
Oh. sure.
So we'll take it and see what needs replacing. They phoned me and said, okay, it's going to cost 2,800 Rand to fix.
Yeah.
They were obviously scared that I would then just go and say to them, no, I'm going to buy one. And they were scared I was going to buy not from them, because obviously with Black Friday coming along. So they said, just remember that if you buy through us, you don't pay the delivery fee, all of this type of stuff. Okay. Other people are going to charge you this.
Right.
So I thought, well, let me have a look, see what I can find. Everything was more expensive than what the repairs would be. And it's a really good washing machine. With repairs, it'll still carry on going for a number of years. So I've gone with the repair. So even with 3,500 Rand washing machines shoved in my face on Black Friday, I chose not to buy them.
Good for you. See, you are the model citizen, the animal. You did the right thing. Plus, you're not throwing some old piece of junk out, leaving it lying
Which
in the yard.
Which probably isn't that junky.
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it. And you know that if you have that repaired, I've got a washing machine in my garage at the moment that I'm looking to repair as well. Because even if I don't use it, there's going to be somebody who can get some use out of it, and I can sell it on to them, make some money out of the transaction. There's nothing wrong with the thing. Just needs a bit of a, you know, once over. Some skilled mechanic will be able to sort that out like this.
Does Precious agree with this move? Because, you know,
I did rub it in a bit, because she pitched up on Saturday. Before she even looked at me to say hello, she looked at the gaping hole where the washing machine was and said, where's the machine? And I said, well, it's going to cost me 2,800 Rand to fix. She says, so much wrong.
So much wrong.
So much. I said, yes, well, I can buy a new one for 3,500. So today we don't have one. I think she might be more mindful about what she puts in there going forward.
I need to admit something. I'm about to commit.
Oh, no, you don't know how to use a washing
machine. No, one of like the worst things you can do when dealing with helpers that you have.
Oh, God, this show is going to be... I know someone's going to pull a quote out of this show and say, listen to these
people.
All right, go on.
So you know already my helper and I don't have the best relationship.
Yeah, because you don't really like... She's very...
Passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Very judgmental.
Right. She is not comfortable.
And she doesn't shy away from expressing her feelings towards me like this.
This could be your fault, but we'll leave it alone for
a
moment.
It's a two-way street.
I mean, Sia is also passive aggressive, and Sia doesn't like confrontation, so she's kind of in charge of him as opposed to the other way around.
So she's been away for the past 3 weeks. And while she was away, she let us know that, like, you know what, I can bring my sister along so that she can clean while I'm away. We're like, okay, great, fantastic. There's an operation that works.
Yeah.
The sister has been at our place for the past 3 weeks and has been a rock star. Like, amazing.
The sister knows this is her moment to shine.
That's it. It may not last forever.
Yeah. So now I'm conflicted.
No, you can't.
What do we do?
No, your loyalty has to lie with your original helper has to.
Your Juliet is not the one, hey?
This is where I let the passive aggression come in, so that when Juliet arrives back, she sees what good a job was done.
Yeah, but she doesn't care.
No, Juliet does not care at all. And I've tried everything to coax her and to like motivate her, and really like we give her great incentives.
Oh, yeah.
She just doesn't budge at all. So we've been considering, like, should we not go with the sister?
No, you'll cause sibling rivalry forever. You can't.
Plus, you did.
If you went with someone else, you'd have to go to a different family. You can't
keep
it. Your
original help is going to sabotage the new one as well. It's not a good idea.
I think this is a disaster.
No, Zoktelela, as they say. She'll definitely come and do some voodoo.
Yeah. Go with what you know here, Sia. Don't.
Yeah, and she already hates us. Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
She hates you, you hate her. Everybody knows what everybody's in for.
Exactly.
Don't try and change the natural progression.
There it is.
All right. Lots of things to talk about this morning. And we've spoken a little bit about Black Friday because I think a lot of people spent money on Friday and a lot of people went out and shopped. And if you did any of that, well, maybe you have a good story and maybe you have something interesting to impart to the rest of us. Who knows? Maybe you found a really good bargain.
Oh,
that's
today's
the whole point of Black Friday.
Today's Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
You know they're just going to extend it to make more money.
So if you go online and shop today, apparently you can make big savings too. But I'm not going to persuade you either way. I had to buy this anyway. This is now this is a message from Hermine, who says, I usually refuse to buy anything on Black Friday, but out of principle, I did get a textbook that normally goes for 5,000 Rand for 3,000 Rand online. So you save.
Is that how much textbooks are these days?
Yeah, and I know a friend who bought a whole bunch of courses, like courses that she's doing a bunch of
online
training.
Course.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
And she bought those online, and she said she got them at a good price.
Hmm.
So I suppose you could.
Yeah, there are some. You know, yeah, if you've got the money to do them.
Apparently, only 6% of employed South Africans are able to retire comfortably. Your sister and Leanne should be celebrated for not spending money and for having a plan. This is from Juliana. Mm. She says that 6% of South Africans are able to afford to retire comfortably. Yeah. Only 6% of us. Jeez. That's phenomenal. And this is a price to be paid for progress. Civilized to death, the price of progress. There's a book out this comes from Adam, who says you've got to read this book. It's by a guy called Christopher Ryan. And it's all about consumerism.
Great
by the looks of things. You've read it?
I have read it.
And tell us about it.
Oh, it's it's obviously the notion of we always as the human race, we always go progress and economy are synonymous, which is not always true, you know. So it's basically trying to speak to us to say what's passive consumption doing to the human soul, you know, and where that drives us. It's compelling reading.
Our new book reviewer on the show this morning,
Bulelo T. Bulelo's Book Club.
All right. By the way, do you have any serious sport to tell us from the weekend? I know there was an Abu Dhabi Grand Prix because a friend of mine was putting pictures up of he went to visit that. Very nice.
It looks spectacular.
Yeah,
That is a spectacular race. But Gareth, I know you in sport. For anybody who watches motorsport, listen, motorsport snorefest.
Oh, really?
Should be watching. Yeah, it's a snorefest. Yeah, all right. You know what I mean?
No,
I don't know what you mean.
I've never watched any.
That's a problem.
So, well, what I want to tell you quickly is my weekend and my sporting weekend were kind of the same thing. So I did something really, really excruciating this weekend.
Mm.
I moved into a new house.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brutal. Yeah. Brutal. Awful. Like, it's I don't know if you know anybody like this. It's like sort of being with somebody and you have a child with them, but you don't really love them, but you have to stay. It felt like that. You know, you have to unpack. It's like brutal.
It's really stressful.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm sorry.
Then Chelsea went and lost to Aston Villa at home. So to you Blues fans.
Made it even worse.
Oh,
yeah.
Sunk my soul. So Chelsea losing to, of course, two in a row. So that's two in a row they've lost. They lost to City last week. Mm-hmm. If you're a Chelsea fan like I am, it was terrible. But then Manchester United did what they do. They went and drew 2-2 to Aston Villa at home. And Aston Villa are awful. So it's great once again. I said it last time I was here. Anybody with a human soul will be delighted at that. So Man United languishing in mid-table, 18 points. It is fantastic.
That makes you happy.
Oh, delighted. If you have a human soul and you give to charity and you love and you don't hate children, you'll be delighted with that. And lastly, you'll be delighted with that. Everybody, every time Man United, I believe every time Man United sort of loses a football match, another angel is saved. I truly believe that.
Oh,
it's a wonderful story, Sia.
Wow.
And lastly, everybody will know him as the guy who punched Joe Root, or the guy who was Sandpapergate. His name is David Warner. He is back for the Australians.
Oh.
He smashed 355. It was an unbelievable innings. So we against Pakistan, and Australia are dominating in that test.
All right.
So love him or hate him, he is back as David Warner.
All right, very good. Hmm. So Leanne has gone about doing a lot of research on the internet. She has discovered where you can get bargain destinations, holidays that you might not have considered. This is quite handy, especially because we're talking about saving money, end of the year coming up. A lot of people are planning. Maybe you want to plan for 2020 or even for 2021 if you're one of those people who thinks ahead.
So, like Pinky.
Yeah,
Pinky here at the office, who's like that. She's very much a forward planner. And if you've thought about that and you have some idea of where you might want to go, cancel, because Leanne's got some better ideas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about the prime destination areas which are going to cost an arm and a leg to go to, the ones that you know about. Yeah. And then rather, I found this list of underrated destinations to visit next year. And these may not be listed as the best, but because they're underrated...
I don't like this disclaimer already.
Because they're underrated, it means that they're probably going to be a lot cheaper. They're less trafficked places. They go off the beaten path a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Some of them... means that you'll pay a little bit less than you will like in Paris, Tokyo, or New York City. And some of these are actually really charming, untapped beaches, historic gems.
Sure,
sure.
And these are the places that are listed here. So you need to book now because of this list. They're going to be...
hyped up a bit. Yeah.
Hyped up. Okay, so if you've thought of going to Uruguay ever... this is obviously in South America and I believe a really beautiful place. There's a particular city, one of the oldest in Uruguay, called Colonia del Sacramento. Dates back to Portuguese settlements in the 1600s. And it really has this beautiful old quarter with a 300-year-old convent, a relaxing waterfront. So if you do look at a South American trip, it might be worth looking at Uruguay as a destination.
Okay.
Fantastic country.
That sounds very good.
Mm. Vietnam, particularly Con Dao, which largely gets overlooked. It's an island.
Ooh, Con Du Con Dao.
And is one of Vietnam's best beach destinations. Say that a lot.
Best destinations. Yeah, I got you.
So you can find boutique accommodation here with spas and kayaking and biking. History buffs will enjoy a trip to visit the tomb town of Vietnamese martyrs. So yeah, looks very, very cool.
And it's cheaper, right?
Yes, and also a 1-hour flight from Ho Chi Minh City. Beautiful. It's not like you have to island hop to get there.
Or take the underground tunnels.
Yes. Another place that's listed here is Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay, that's an unusual... okay, let's open our minds a little.
Why
Lagos? Tell us why.
One of the things that they're saying is, for example, if you had to stay at the Wheat Baker, it's a luxury hotel with a rotating art show, so a lot of culture involved in staying in the city. Or there are ocean views at very well-kept private beaches. You know, there's a lot of... really good cuisine there as well. Restaurants are on the up. Michelin-starred type restaurants who are aiming for Michelin stars. So, yes, luxury, convenience. You wouldn't have thought of that coming from Lagos. Cambodia. If you're looking at, like, your ethical type travel.
All right.
Wildlife tourism. There is a place called Mondulkiri in Cambodia. And... this organization welcomes visitors from Sen Monoram, which is a 6-hour bus ride from Phnom Penh to a sanctuary.
Yeah.
You can deeply dive into Cambodian wildlife there.
Yeah.
Belize. Have you thought of Belize before?
So Belize is in Central America.
Yes.
Oh, you better Belize.
There's a lot of places. Friends of mine went to Panama once and they told me that's really good. So Belize is near there. Is that cheaper too?
Yes, well, it's quite easily accessible as the island getaways go in this area. This place is called Punta Gorda. And the main draw there is the Copal Tree Lodge.
Are you familiar with Punta Gorda,
no,
Gareth?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Surprisingly, this is a sustainable eco-hotel where 70% of the meat and produce consumed is sourced from the property's farmland.
Okay.
The rainforest hilltop upon which this hotel sits dates back to the Mayan period, 600 AD.
A long time ago.
So think bathtubs, hammocks, mountains, kayaking, organic rum tastings.
All right.
Overlooked in the Netherlands, where everyone tends to flock to Amsterdam, is Rotterdam. I actually looked at living there at one stage.
Oh.
It's a very, very modern city. Not like Amsterdam at all. The architecture is out of this world. It's an extremely cultural place. It's there's a place within Rotterdam where there's an underground music and street art mecca.
Sure.
So the what happened with the city was it was actually bombed to the ground during World War II.
That's right.
And so there was nothing left of it. That's why it doesn't resemble anything like Amsterdam or the older cities in the Netherlands. So it was rebuilt from the ground up. And that's why everything's pretty modern. So, yeah, a lot of the places are built on the foundations of old places, like perhaps a newspaper publishing house. So, yeah, there's still a lot of culture which they've tried to preserve within the city.
Just by the way, Candace says she's been to Cambodia. One of the reasons you might want to go there is because apparently you're allowed to shoot a cow with a bazooka in Cambodia.
That's
so
the number one reason why I would go.
Jeez. I've actually been looking to sell my bazooka. So that's great.
All right. How about this one? This is from Sean. Sean says, last year I had a busy December going away on two separate holidays. Also bought all my kids Christmas gifts. I could afford it because January was already confirmed to be a busy and prosperous month for me. Most of my clients pay me in January. Mm. Then due to many factors, it didn't happen. So I had a terrible start to 2019. I'm only starting to recover now. Sorry, I only started to recover by April.
Yeah.
So this December, I'm staying at home in Johannesburg, and it's going to be amazing. See a lot of people not even going anywhere. So add that to your list, Leanne.
Yes.
Staying at home.
Staycations, definitely.
All right.
Thinking of going to the North Americas. You can look at Texas.
Okay.
San Antonio.
I want to go to, where was it, Gareth?
Waco,
Texas. No, I want to see that for myself.
I don't know. This sounds a little bit boring to me. It's got, Big Whoop, boutique clothing stores, a farmer's market, notable restaurants. I mean, we get that here.
The San Antonio Spurs.
San Antonio.
Basketball around.
Thank you.
There's a cocktail conference. Like, why would I?
No, you'd like
even that doesn't get you going.
You'd line up for that.
Can make cocktails at home, you know.
Okay.
So that one didn't really float my boat. Chile, back to the South America region. Santiago is one of the most underrated travel destination. It has mountains, beaches, deserts. It's really geographically diverse.
Some desert. Yeah.
Lots of neoclassical architecture, design, and art enclaves, and of course, world-class wine.
Oh,
my favorite city outside of Africa.
Really?
100%.
Santiago.
That, and I was going to say something on the Uruguay thing earlier. Montevideo.
Okay.
Oh. I like it when you talk foreign.
Henry. Chechnya is a place.
Chechnya.
No.
Chechnya you wouldn't want to go to?
No.
Are you bullshitting us?
Chechnya.
Where's that?
I don't know.
I, Leanne, you.
You sound like a Xhosa lady saying church is here.
Chechnya. The Chechnya. Ten left to the Chechnya.
So tell me more. Where
is this place?
Called
Telk.
Yeah.
It's an Italian-influenced Czech town, which should be on your travel bucket list.
Okay.
Wow, looking at these images, it really is beautiful. These like Baroque Renaissance homes in a UNESCO World Heritage Site. I mean, no one's ever heard of this place. Explorable tunnels underground and passageways that once connected the town's cellars.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's really beautiful. Armenia.
Oh, for the Kardashians.
Well.
A place called Yerevan, which is known as the world's oldest Christian country. Grand temples, UNESCO-recognized Christian monasteries, And the capital, Yerevan, is one of the longest continually habited cities on Earth, known for its majestic views of Mount Ararat, which is Armenia's national symbol.
That's also the mountain that supposedly Noah's Ark came to rest on after the flood.
Ararat.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's also dubbed the Pink City for the rose-hued volcanic tufa rock that comes from much of its architecture.
Well, listen to this. We've got a message here from Lynn, who says she's going to Patagonia.
Ooh,
on Boxing Day this year. I'm sure you can't beat that. The only downside is I'm flying on SAA. I'm sure I'll get there, but will I get back?
Just bring your own scuffed in.
Yeah. Listen, I have to say, I noticed last week there are a lot of companies that are jumping off the SAA bandwagon, and they're not offering insurance anymore if you do book on SAA and they get cancelled.
Oh, wow.
So you might want to just check that out, because this is really the market saying, you know what, we don't believe in you anymore, SAA, it's over, it's just be pushed aside and let's carry on with our lives. Apparently, our own government was in negotiations with Ethiopian Airlines to do some kind of joint venture to take over SAA, or at least figure out some of the management changes that could take place. The whole thing was scuppered because obviously our government can't negotiate anything properly. So that's been railroaded as well by the South African government, as opposed to just letting Ethiopian Airlines come in, maybe run it a bit better. It's a disaster.
Ethiopian Airlines has got a good rep.
They have. They've been pushed out though, so forget about it.
But the one thing we must remember though is that this happens all over the world. Airlines are taken over by other airlines. It's really, really hard for any country in the world to keep an airline going.
Sure. To our Patagonia lady there, have I got a story for you. A couple of years ago, I went hiking with some very proficient they were real climbers and mountain people, and I actually got stuck in a snowstorm twice.
You coming up, snow, man.
Yeah, we got stuck in a snowstorm because you can come up from the Argentine and we'd come up from the Chilean side, and both sides we've got stuck in a snowstorm.
I think snow is not for you.
This is the time you accept it.
So stay safe in Patagonia.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, right. Talking about spending a little earlier, just off Black Friday, Amazon is not having the best of times right now.
Why?
So
you think with Black Friday it would be great for Amazon.
Well,
why?
They're more things that they have to deal with in terms of drama. Here are two stories that pertain to Amazon just having to sort some things out in-house. Firstly, Amazon is currently under fire based on some of the things that they're selling. So ahead of Christmas season, they are selling Auschwitz memorabilia.
Oh, Jesus. That's not good.
That's a slippery.
Isn't it just tacky? So a couple of people have now flagged this on social media and are wanting to take action against Amazon for allowing this onto their site. They're calling this Auschwitz memorabilia both disrespectful and disturbing because there are depictions and images of Auschwitz on things like bottle openers.
What?
And also Christmas ornaments, because, you just want to hang that on your Christmas tree, right? Mm. I don't know how they let this slip, but this is just...
But then if you've got a whole bunch of Auschwitz memorabilia, how else are you going to sell it?
Scores of commentators are like really ticked off by this. People are saying that monetizing the monstrosity that was the Holocaust is disgusting, and they have complained about these items to the Amazon customer service, asking that their complaints be forwarded to the appropriate parties. And these groups of people are watching to see what action, if any, will be taken.
Even if it wasn't, even if it was monetized, but not to the gain of Amazon. Even if it went to a charity, it would still be in bad taste.
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. A double bad taste. Christmas for a Jewish tragedy.
I know. No, I agree. This is horrible. So, look, I mean, if you're Amazon, you don't really want this on your balance sheet. Even if the stuff is in huge demand
in some sick part of the world. No.
Yeah.
This is what they've
maybe
said.
Maybe use the dark web, not Amazon.
The company has said that the products in question, which were first reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, have been removed from its website. And a company spokesperson says all sellers must follow our selling guidelines, and those who do not will be subject to action, including potential removal of their account. So let's keep tabs of that. When easily, though, like this is like some memorabilia going for $950. I don't know who is going for something like that. And this is also, people aren't taking it lightly when a couple of weeks ago there was a Spanish fashion brand that was selling some of their merchandise through Amazon. And that brand got some complaints based on, wince already, some of their outfits having black and white stripes that resemble the outfits that...
Like what you're wearing today.
Well, no, not mine. No.
Like literally.
Take me out of the equation. Black and white stripes that resemble the uniforms that Jewish people had to wear in concentration camps.
Well,
so,
here's an interesting point about that, because I actually thought about this. It's either real ignorance or it's just machine learning, right? So apparently this Amazon stuff is because Chinese companies use AI to put random photographs onto products.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So those products don't actually exist. They would exist if you ordered them. In other words, they're not sitting on a rack somewhere. But if you order them, then all it's done is it's trawled the internet for images that people are looking at. And it's made products out of those using AI.
I didn't even know AI was doing that.
So, So if you're interested in, you know, lizards, then you're typing in lizard. Some cookie is running around on the internet or it's being archived as part of your search. And then when you're looking for clothes, that comes up. Do you know what I've been looking at for the last week?
Do we want to know?
Woman versus cat. So, and my favorite meme has been turned into a Christmas jersey. And I'm seeing this all over the internet. Everything's coming up for me. So I know this is true.
Oh.
Can everybody just take a moment for us to try and figure out what Joe Biden is talking about here? Joe Biden is definitely senile. I want you to listen to this and see if you can figure out what the hell he's talking about. Here it is. This is Joe Biden, right?
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Is he on shrooms?
Okay.
Definitely senile.
That sounded like a recording from the Vatican.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty sick. If you can figure that out, then I will give you some money.
Hairy legs. Guy.
All right, here's somebody else who's going to Patagonia. This is exciting. Patagonia is, of course, a part of South America where there's a lot of unspoiled nature. It's a pretty uninhabitable place. Not very good weather. It's usually either very, very cold or extremely inhospitable. There are winds, but it's a great place for animals and for plants. And there are lots of people who go and explore Patagonia if they are particularly into hiking and the, you know, unspoiled natural environment there. Mm. So this is Chris. He says he's going to Patagonia for the Solar Eclipse Festival that's happening in December 2020. Can't wait. I know you're not supposed to wish time would speed up, but Patagonia 2020, full solar eclipse is a pretty good reason.
Wow.
Okay.
So all these people are going to pour into Patagonia and ruin it for the solar eclipse at the end of 2020.
People are really adventurous with their holiday tastes. Mm. Wow.
It's a climbing mecca as well. So
it just feels like it's going to be hot, especially now.
It does get brutally hot.
Like jungle hot?
No, it's in the mountains, so it's okay. It's more temperate than the jungle.
Sure.
Doesn't seem all too fabulous, though. Your heart, you're sweating, you have to hike, it's admin,
You can all have your Patagonia. Leave me out of it.
Yeah, give me air conditioning and then I'll be fine. And then here's the second little scandal coming from Amazon right now. A bunch of their employees are protesting around the working conditions that they have to endure, specifically at their warehouses. They started their protests last week and they're saying they have to scream and shout now because they only can tell it's only going to get worse. And specifically as we go into the thick of festive season and all of the spending. So the woman who's leading this pack, her name is Maureen. And by the way, if you just look at her, she does look like a Maureen. Mm-hmm. I know we aren't judging, but we're judging. Look at her.
She does. Oh, Maureen.
Oh, shame.
Do you want to describe Maureen to us, Leanne?
She does look a little bland. I don't know. It looks like she's dressed to move house or something.
She's a very plain woman.
Yeah,
she has a lot on her shoulders.
Very plain.
She may be special in other ways.
She's a bog standard.
A lot on her shoulders, and I'm not just talking about the frumpy jacket she's wearing. But Maureen is leading the charge for a lot of her co-workers and saying, listen, Jeff Bezos, it's all good and well that you have all this money, but you need to change how we are working right here, right now. Amazon, as compared to a lot of other...
Or Maureen can just go get another job and stop bitching about the one that she currently has.
There we have it.
When people do, no. Hi, Jeff Bezos, I work in one of your warehouses, and I just want to tell you how to run your business. Well, you know what? I don't know if I need to listen to you, honey, because Maureen, everything that you do is at the at the expense of the business I built. If I hadn't come up with the idea for Amazon, Maureen, guess what? Your opinion wouldn't matter. You wouldn't have a job. Nobody would have bought
all this Black Friday
shit last week.
Listen to this and then make your call on this.
Let's hear from Maureen.
Let's hear it.
Amazon. Maureen, who started Amazon.
She invented Amazon.
Okay, so let's not climb into Maureen.
Warehouse working Maureen. Go on.
Hit me with it.
Bring it on. Take time out of our day, listener loser.
Amazon, as opposed to other factory and warehouse working environments, has a worker injury rate that is 3 times higher than the national average.
Well, you want your package delivered on time. They must work.
This is what must happen.
Maybe because they're delivering 3 times higher goods and there's that much more demand.
The National Council for Occupational Safety and Health has a list that they call the Dirty Dozen. This is a list of companies that is hazardous to their employees, like employees have to struggle a lot and what they have to do. Amazon is listed right there.
Then stop working there. You know what's nice about the free market? You go in, you take the job. If you don't like the job, you leave.
Couldn't agree more. And also, is nobody going to say who the real victim is here? Jeff Bezos is busy trying to celebrate getting divorced.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now you're interrupting that whole party trick.
How dare you.
Oh, is he the victim in all of us?
He just had the best day of his life and divorced his wife.
So specifically, this is what...
She had the best day too, if you look at it.
She got a half decent payoff, yeah.
Sure. Guys, I'm the only one who's sympathetic to Maureen. This is what got
Maureen.
Me.
Oh, God. Maureen.
That's good.
Oh, please don't open your mouth and talk more shit.
This is what made me feel bad for Maureen and some of her colleagues.
Yeah.
They work at a Staten Island warehouse for Amazon. It is 4 stories tall. Mm-hmm. It's a massive warehouse. Here's a picture for you to get the scale of this warehouse. 18 football fields can fit inside this warehouse.
She's probably just tired of walking.
Sure.
So that is one of the gripes that they're raising in their grievances, saying things like allocated break time is not sufficient because they get 30 minutes a day for a break. By the time they get to a break room, they've already been walking for 15 minutes.
No, that's horrible.
You see?
You know, Maureen...
Does anyone feel bad for Maureen now?
No, not really. Because there are people working in mines in South Africa that are in a space... the size of your cubbyhole of your car with a jackhammer busy trying to get gold out of the walls.
But half of your break time is spent walking to the break room.
They're sweating half their body weight out. The temperature's 50 degrees down there.
Also, I don't have lunch in a break room. I eat at my desk and carry on working.
Yeah, well, they can't do that. There's a specific food policy.
Oh, Maureen. Mm. Let's all just take some time out of our busy day to commiserate with Maureen.
Maybe Jeff Bezos should do that undercover boss thing. Go into the factory and see for himself.
Maybe Maureen should open up her own business.
She sounds like such a whiz. She should start her own business and make the employees walk only for a minute to the break room, and she could build a little warehouse instead of a big one, and she could sell things at much greater and more expensive prices than anything that Amazon sells. We'll see how long Maureen's business lasts.
You aren't getting any sympathy.
Alternatively, Maureen can take the money that Jeff Bezos shells out to her every month and buy herself one of those electric wheelchairs and ride that to wherever she
No, there's a specific... I'm not
rolling.
Even, I'm not even making this up. There's a specific Skechers sneakers policy at Amazon. You have to wear that when you're on the factory floor and nothing else. And then lastly, this is definitely going to rile you guys up and not give you any sort of sympathy for Maureen and her colleagues at all. But there's a strict no phone and no headphone policy. And they've been saying, we understand headphones, it might be a safety issue because...
That's good.
If something is falling, you need to be able to be warned, like, hey, something's falling on your head, you need to move away. But they're saying a lot of us are single parents and we don't earn enough to have great care for our children
or
childcare.
What about the days
care.
Before cell phones?
So, okay. So they were just asking to be able to get access to their access to their phones to be in contact with their children.
Well, they're in the break room.
But clearly you guys aren't. You guys aren't liking that.
Oh, no!
You know what else it is? As soon as you work for a big place like Amazon, if you complain about worker standards, the media are there, they're listening, and they're willing to pick it up. There are people who are having much worse issues.
There are kids right now in sweatshops making the clothes you wear in.
People dying.
Yes, no, listen. So let's all just stop it. And 100 years ago, every one of our ancestors was working in slave-like conditions in some factory or plant or farm or all of them. Every single one of them was working back-breaking conditions, 12-hour, 14-hour days, packing heroin.
Yeah.
Is that what your ancestors
were doing? Wearing their bras. You know,
rolling Cuban cigars between their thighs.
That's exactly what
I don't think that's what my ancestors were doing.
Do you know what Maureen should do? Is I think she's lacking a bit of empathy. If she should go and get married, get divorced, and then she'll know what Bezos is going through. And then, you know what I mean?
You're still for him in this case. Okay, Shane. Maybe you guys will feel bad when your packages are delayed if they start to strike or something. But okay.
Oh, wow. Here's something interesting from Leo. I don't know if you've noticed this. Sia, you watch them from time to time. Has anyone noticed that everyone is quietly leaving that morning show, Espresso? I'm not a fan or a regular viewer, but it seems like only Katlego Maboy is left of the permanent presenters. It's falling apart.
Well,
someone must maybe give us an
update. They do like a bunch of presenter searches, so they like are recycling their people.
Well, trying to find cheaper.
Yeah,
people who just want to be on TV. You
know. Maybe Maureen should work there. She could get a new wardrobe.
Yeah, Maureen, get a job
every
at Espresso.
Day.
Hey, listen, if it sounds like we're unsympathetic, that's because
nobody is
forcing Maureen to work at Amazon. This is very important. People tend to get caught up because Amazon, as Leanne just pointed out, is a huge company. There's always publicity around what goes on there and how hard it is to work there and all the rest. Guarantee you there are worse places to work in the world, but there are also better ones. So if you don't like it in the place you're at, in the free market, you're always able to leave.
There might be people there who like it who are thinking, shut up, Maureen. We've got a good thing going for us here.
Right. But you have the choice. That's the important thing. You have the ability to choose where it is you want to work. Now, speaking of places where you have a choice, is land redistribution without compensation a viable option? And what needs to happen to make something like that successful? Well, that's the issue being tackled on the season 2 finale of the debating show, The Interchange. While the policy of redistribution without compensation has been given the green light, critics warn against the heavy impact that'll have on economic affairs and problems. However, optimists believe the process can occur without adverse economic effects. Well, we'll find out by listening to The Interchange on cliffcentral.com. It's on our app or wherever you get your podcasts, made possible by Absinthe Simong. So no matter what your position is on this, you might absolutely hate the idea of expropriation without compensation. You might have heard from somebody that you respect that it's a good idea. Who knows? Take a listen to the show and you can inform yourself better and hear the argument from both sides. And what's so nice about this show is the people arguing and debating are not necessarily believers in the thing that they're debating. They're just doing the very best they can to forward that position. So this is what true debating is, and that's why it's a pleasure to watch and to participate in. A real debate, you get given the side and the topic.
Yes.
And you have to put together the best case you can. And what's often nice about this is that people who've already decided that they like or dislike something have to then put themselves in the position of arguing for the other side, which makes you smarter. So I like listening to The Interchange for that reason, and maybe you will too. There are a couple other things that we might have wanted to get to today, but we're out of time, I'm afraid. It's time for Decrypto, Season 2, Episode 5, How to Move Cryptocurrency. Well, this is something that Henry was talking about earlier. Transferring money electronically is part of our everyday lives, and traditional banks have made it almost as simple as making a phone call. But there's a lot going on in the background, which often means delays and charges. Luno's country manager for France and Italy, Maria Wonsisz, because it's Polish, you see, it's a very difficult surname to pronounce. Wonsisz, that's Maria Wonsisz, talks about how cryptocurrencies are revolutionizing the way we move money. You can learn about that and more in the next episode of Decrypto. It's the second season of this terrific show. If you've missed any of it, you can go and listen to the rest of the episodes by going to cliffcentral.com. Transferring money electronically is part of our everyday lives, and traditional banks have made it almost as simple as making a phone call. But there's a lot going on in the background, which often means delays and charges. We're at Luno headquarters in Cape Town to chat to Luno's country manager for France and Italy, Maria Wonsisz, about how cryptocurrencies are revolutionizing the way we move money.
So we often talk about Bitcoin as an investment, a store of value, but the benefits of Bitcoin as a payment system give it the true potential to disrupt and democratize the existing financial system. So a lot of people ask what we can really do with our Bitcoin. Well, if you transfer money between two different accounts at the same bank, there are very few pain points, and it's actually quite simple. But it gets a little bit more complicated when you want to transfer money from one bank to a different bank. Well, the two banks might have different ledger systems and that need to be reconciled. And for this, they charge a fee and often takes more time to complete the transfer. So when there are banks or other financial systems in foreign countries, it gets even more complicated. There are different languages, systems, currencies, more parties to coordinate, and so on. So the fees and transfer times increase. And that's why the financial system is so complex. It's just a massive entanglement of various ledger systems around the world. And Bitcoin has a true opportunity to change this. It's simply one global ledger system that synchronizes across the entire internet so that everyone can access the same ledger account in real time, no matter who or where they are. This means that money can easily be transferred between parties without all the lag times and exorbitant fees, just like it used to be before it became a little bit too complicated. People can use Bitcoin as payment system for everything that one would do with normal money. They can send to friends and family locally or abroad. They can buy things online, get paid for their work, and so on. Microsoft has been accepting Bitcoin for use in its online Xbox store since 2014, and South Africa's companies more often accept Bitcoin as a payment. An example would be an e-commerce company called Bid or Buy. Once you have cryptocurrency in your Luno wallet, you can easily send it to others. Sending Bitcoin to someone with a Luno wallet using their email address or mobile number makes the transaction instant and free. There are three ways to do it. Using your Luno wallet, you can send to a wallet address, you can send to someone's email address or mobile number, or you can scan a QR code in your friend's Luno app, similar to how you would pay using SnapScan or Zapper.
Decrypto is everything you need to know about buying, trading, and spending cryptocurrency. Brought to you by Luno. Only on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.